A little bit late. Yes, yes, yes. That's what happens when you take phone calls before the radio show. You should not do that. So anyway, here we are. I was reading the news earlier. You know, you get things like the coach of the New England Patriots gets arrested for solicitation of prostitution. What a bummer. Let's just go that route. I think that's kind of sad, that a guy, you know, I think it shows us the money. I mean, the guy, what's the guy worth? I mean, how many billions of dollars is this guy worth? I don't even know, but a lot. And it shows his dissatisfaction with life or his unhappiness or, you know, whatever it may be. That's driving this, and the fact that no matter what you have, you still, well, first of all, money does not stop sin. We know that, but at the same time, you're never satisfied. I mean, as a human being, your flesh is always desiring more, and that's one thing people who know me have known that I've really worked on lately is to reduce my fleshly desire for material items. Now, that may sound like, oh, you were having a real hard problem with material items. No, not necessarily. It's kind of one of these things where my whole life, I think most of you know that I grew up in a situation where I was thrown out of my house, dropped off at a runaway home, basically, in eighth grade. And from there, I bounced. My parents, you know, weren't, let's say, too excited about me as their son. I found out later I had a brother. They did us very, you know, that they also gave up for adoption, and I had become a ward of the state, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to, when I really get into the depth of the story of my upbringing, people get very empathetic or sympathetic. And I don't want that because it's who I am. It's who God somehow chose me to be. It's what made me who I am today. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. It's one of those things where if you ask people, what are the three most significant events in your whole life that formed you the way you are today? I love this because I served as well as a counselor, and that was a question I'd ask. And every single time, every single time, you know what? That's not true. There is one exception, and I'll tell you what it is. And it's the human relationships, but. Or the addition of human relationships, like the birth of a child or a marriage. But in addition to that, that was pretty rare. Usually it was negative traumatic events. And people would say, basically, they wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, but they would not want to go through it again. And so that's kind of how God is. We are all sinners. I mean, we're all human. We've all been there. We've all done it, you know. And I have an friend, we'll say, an employee, whatever you want to call, and who I recently, the guy's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. I mean, he's a terrific employee. And the other night, he just looked down, and I said, you know, I said, you're looking down. I said, I'm not used to seeing you like this. And then he began to tell me of, you know, stuff that he was dealing with in his family and, you know, stuff that another family member was dealing with. And the first thing out of my mouth was like, oh, you're human too. We're all human, folks, you know? And that's the point of God's love, you know? And that's the point of our love for one another. I had a situation come up here recently where I did a very, you know, some very substantial business transactions with an individual. And after, so during the business transactions, it's one of these deals where, you know, the guy's the best friend in the world. And as soon as the business transactions are over, he, you know, he grows cold and distant and becomes unreachable and, you know, and just basically made it clear that he used me. He then came back later and asked me if I would be a reference for him, in a reference in a very, very, very significant situation, a situation that was pivotal in a number of ways, very pivotal. And I'm talking pivotal, not just like getting a job, but pivotal in his industry, pivotal to our entire region, very pivotal in a way that, you know, literally would change the course of a certain industry in this entire area, the real estate industry, in a lot of ways. And I thought about it and I thought, you know, yes, I will. And my wife's like, why are you doing that? He was, you know, after we finished business, he was a jerk, you know. And I told her because I served Jesus Christ. And I said, what would Jesus do? And she said, he would do it. And I said, yeah, he would. And that's who we've got to be. That's how we walk the high road, folks. That is how we serve our Lord. That is how we glorify God. It isn't about us. We need to forget about our emotions. Our emotions are the greatest deception in existence. If you think about it, your emotions are 100% intangible. You can't measure them. You can't see them. They're just in your head. And yet your emotions, or not yours, but some people's emotions will lead to murder, right? I mean, murder, rape, you know, what? Molestation, whatever. I don't want to make a list of all the terrible things humans do to one another. But it's driven by emotion. It's just our emotion. It's all fake. It's, and by fake, it's deception. And God gave us emotion for so many reasons. I mean, how could you enjoy life without emotion? You couldn't. And you know what's interesting is this morning or today or whatever, I was listening to children, multiple children laugh and play. And I thought, you know what? That right there, that is what it's all about. That is what emotion is about. That's what God's about. That's what Jesus is about. That's why he gave us emotion. These kids were just having a ball, you know? And isn't that really what it's all about? Is God gave us emotion so we can experience this life? And you know, if he gave us emotion here, you know, we folks, we picture heaven in so many ways. But do you picture laughter in heaven? Do you picture yourself laughing? Do you picture yourself smiling? Do you picture yourself happy and excited? And, you know, I mean, really? You got to think about these things. I mean, you know, we're going to be like that when we're in heaven. I mean, we really are. We're going to be filled with the joy of the Lord. And joy comes with laughter and happiness and all these things, doesn't it? You know, it's interesting. If you really think about it, it's kind of cool. I think it's pretty neat, but I think that we lose sight of it. I think we think of heaven as being in a trance.
A bond slave, let me speak that you lay at our feet. Jesus, please show us the narrow path.
Okay, so here I'm getting feedback again. Interesting enough. I love it. So here we go with the feedback again. And yeah, I don't know what in the world's going on there, but we're getting feedback here on the radio. I love it. It's awesome. So anyway, I'll just text them and make sure they please stop the feedback. I heard something about a bond slave. Hearing, as I say, I'm typing it here, listening about some bond slave. And as oddly enough, it sounded kind of like my own voice, which made it even a little more scary. I was like, I hope I'm not going schizophrenic, but you never know. Maybe I am, but let's hope I'm not, okay? But they got that fixed pretty quick. I think there's some technical difficulties that we've experienced over time. And I've talked to Tom lately about clearing them up, and we're going to get them cleared up. So, but anyway, the bottom line is joy. And laughter, and, you know, this is God, this is what he's given us, this is who he is, this is who he expects us to be, this is his gift to us, is the ability to enjoy life. Sadly enough, we also get to experience the other, which is the non-laughter and the non-fun, and you know, you get people that suffer consequences and trouble when they make mistakes. And I'll tell you, folks, if I don't know who all listens to the show, but I do know that I recently spoke with a gentleman who was really, really struggling with a lot of things. He had been in and out of jail. He was really hooked on some hard drugs, meth and I think heroin, and he was bound. Satan had gotten a hold of him. You have to realize, and I sure hope this doesn't justify it in anybody's mind, but the desire for chemicals to numb out the pain or bring a false joy is an extension of our desire to go to heaven. All right. I mean, you got to realize that that's really what it is. We ultimately want, I mean, it's hard to say, but in a lot of ways we want out of here. I mean, we want to move on. We're ready to move on and move up, and we want to go to heaven. We want, you know, utopia. We want to spend time with Jesus, right? And I think in a lot of cases, this is just my opinion, which, you know, it is what it is that a lot of the drug desires, I mean, we're all designed differently. There's no question about that. I don't think anyone out there is going to argue with that fact. But we are all designed very differently. And some of us have a very high propensity towards addiction. The most destructive addiction I have ever seen was my years in banking, was, believe it or not, the addiction to gambling. I saw, oh my gosh, I saw things, people's lives just absolutely devastated, just demolished.
Path that you lay at our feet. Jesus, please show us the narrow path.
What is the world? The feedback issue. I just still going on here. So anyway, it's making it hard for me to do the show with this feedback coming through. I'm getting someone else's show, which doesn't make sense because it's never happened before that I don't know if something changed or there's a switch, you know, I don't know. And I apologize that you have to keep hearing me talk about this, but it definitely doesn't, it doesn't help. So anyway, I'll just ask him to try to end it, and I will let you have a radio show to listen to here soon. I'll just say thanks. Kind of tough stuff. So anyway, sorry about that. I it frustrates me because it'd be nice to have a clean show where you guys don't have to sit and listen to a bunch of apologies and a bunch of this kind of stuff, but it is very distracting. I think you probably know what that's like, trying to put on a set of headphones and listen to someone else's radio show while you're trying to do your own. It's not the easiest thing you've ever done, I'll tell you that. So I think what we need to do is probably transition a little bit over into what I've continued to talk about, and I always end up doing in the last 10 or 15 minutes. And what I've done is I've gotten where I'm doing these shows, I'm covering this, I'm covering that, and I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I run out of time, and then I'm kind of recovering the same information on financial, details each and every week, each and every day, whatever day the show's on. So I think what might be really helpful and interesting for everybody is if we actually make some progress and we get past the same old, right? And we actually start to get some headway. As I mentioned recently, part of the reason I haven't done this is long ago, and time flies, and I always assume listeners are the same. They're not. I've covered a bunch of this stuff, and times have changed, but times never change, right? There's nothing new according to Solomon under the sun. Human beings are human beings. Our sin is our sin, sadly, right? We keep repeating the same thing. One thing that is, I think, disappointing is the fact that you go generation by generation by generation. Now, God set it up somehow that we all get to learn it all over again. There's no book. Well, I take that back. There is the book, which is really neat. But you know, the book being the Bible tells you what to do, what not to do, how to live your life, tells you morality, leads you to Christ, to permanent salvation. It tells you there is an afterlife. The Egyptians, all the way back, Akkadians, Sumerians, the oldest of the old, Babylonians, whatever, they've always been obsessed with the afterlife, have they not? They've always been obsessed with the afterlife. So, what does that tell us? I mean, to me, okay, not that I get my theology from these other schools of thought, but it tells me that from the very beginning, the way I believe it to be, God started us out with Adam and Eve, right? And then Adam and Eve spread and grew. You had Cain and Abel. Cain being the Canaanites were evil. They were bad. They sinned. They were very evil. And they became dark, and the earth became dark, and there was sin. Sin was prevalent everywhere. And It just got, it got real bad, did it not? Yes, it did. And so we got to the point then somehow, I mean, folks, how cool. I mean, we had some other kind of heavenly beings dwelling among us. People will say, oh, that's not what it means in Genesis chapter 6 when it talks about the Nephilim. I've actually had people argue this with me, okay? Now, boy, there's some scripture I don't want to get rid of. Let's find something. How about this? Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. I really want to get to the financial stuff, but I just can't seem to help myself. Oh, there we go. GE6. How about that? Let's practice our typos. And let's see. Now it came about. Now let's. I'm reading this, and what I want you to do as I read it, I want you to listen, and I want you to think. There's people, when it talks about the Nephilim or the giants on the earth, that say, okay, they say that's not what it meant. That's not what it means. It means they were kings. They were giants. It says, people say, oh, no. It meant they were giant in power and they were giant in stature. And that's the way that they referred to them. And then you go to the Temple of Apollos, I think it is. Which is really interesting because it is 60 miles north of the Great Pyramid. Okay. Now, why is that even significant? Well, in the Book of Adam and Eve, which I've brought up about, you know, probably 100 times, and people are like, what is this stuff? Okay. These are books that popped up in the Dead Sea Scrolls. These are books that we highly, highly canonized out. We were like, out. We want nothing to do with these, okay? Now, the Book of Adam and Eve talks very, very much about, you know, the specifics of what was going on. It talks about the fact that Adam and Eve wanted back in the garden so bad that's all they focused on. It talks about Lucifer trying to kill him. It talks about God sending angels and cherubim and then the watchers to protect them. And then this information gets picked up in the Book of Enoch. And the Book of Enoch was very, very popular around the time of Christ. Later on, the church, the Catholic Church, which was begun by Constantine in 300 AD, 300 years after the death of Christ, you know, it began to really highlight a lot of these events that took place on the earth. So we live on an earth that, I mean, there's just so much information that says, hey, there's been earthly worlds before us, but we are the special ones. We got not, and then it says that God had to destroy these earthly worlds. Why? Because of the injustice of, you know, I'll say mankind, but whatever free will beings he created. Lucifer had some kind of free will. I think he has more access to move around in time than we do. But it seems that his decisions are far more permanent. Lucifer, it's so important that you understand his beauty. He was the most beautiful creation of God. And then, you know, he fell. He was so powerful, so strong. I mean, can you imagine? You know, we are these fleshly beings that are gravitationally bound to a planet, one of many planets within 6 trillion solar systems. Why the Earth? You know, there's something special about the Earth. I mean, we know it's an absolutely magnificently beautiful planet. Are there other planets like it out there? These are all questions that go through my mind. Got my college degree in math and statistics. Took every single college course on astronomy available. I took them as electives. I would get special permission instead of taking all these weak, you know, volleyball and you know, underwater basket weaving or whatever it was that they'd offer, I would ask permission to take 400 level astronomy, where I would spend, you know, summer. I'd go to summer school at college, and the labs were on the roof of the physics building, and we had a sister college in Japan that loaned us a telescope 1 year. Man, this telescope was like, I don't know, I'd say just, it's been a while, but, you know, 16 to 20 feet long, probably 3 feet in diameter. And man, could you see stuff? Wow. You know, and you've got this massive universe that God created, just phenomenal, so amazing, so incredible. And then, you know, and then what comes to my mind is people want to be atheists, you know, and this theory of the Big Bang Theory, it all blew up and it kept expanding and growing. And then planets like the Earth, everything on the Earth turned to or began to evolve and grow into different species. However, we don't have the missing links and so on and so forth. Makes zero sense to me. Okay. So in the book of Adam and Eve, it tells Adam, I think it was Adam or Noah or one of them, to bury Adam in the middle of the earth, okay? And so middle meaning center or central focal point. If you go to the Great Pyramids of Giza, I've discussed this, I'm going to bounce through it because I've discussed it too many times, and you draw a line north and south, east and west, it cuts the dry land mass on Earth into four perfect quadrants. But it's close, but not quite. And then if you go 60 miles north, that's where they dug up the Temple of Apollo. So that's dead center. Boom, there it is. Now, they have hieroglyphs in there. That's where we get hieroglyphs of helicopters, planes, giants. They have electricity, pictures of electricity. Do yourself a favor. Go online, if you're a Weber, and go research the Temple of Apollos hieroglyphs, okay? You're going to see hieroglyphs of people and giants that are much larger than they, holding huge light bulbs with insulators on them, exactly like our light bulbs now. With great big electrical cords. The only thing that's really odd about it is the way they drew it, you know how we have the filament. So we have basically an electrical cord that goes through an insulator, and then it comes out inside the bulb, which is a sealed vacuum, which means they had the ability to do that back then, which is pretty cool. And then they have a filament. That's the piece of metal that lights, that burns and gets hot and lights up. Well, theirs looks kind of like the head of a snake or the tongue of a snake or something, and that's interesting as well. But these light bulbs are being held by giants, and underneath them are people. There's insulators, and there's you know, maybe resistors. I don't know what they are that the light bulbs lay on. There's people underneath with their arms open wide, as if they're receiving some kind of energy. Okay, so there could be a different, I don't know, this could be in pre-flood. Well, it is pre-flood. It was buried under 60 feet of rock and debris, and there's what's it called in Turkey, something gobbly. It's, you know, some people say it's the Garden of Eden. It obviously is not. It was one of the first habitations, I believe, of Noah. Probably 100 years after the shipwreck, when the earth had dried up enough where they could actually begin to migrate down circularly around the mountains of Ararat, and they built this huge, beautiful, magnificent city out of rock. And it's just huge colonnades, and you can see where the canopies would have laid over the top. But you've got hieroglyphs of every kind of animal united together. You've got everything from lions and tigers to sheep and goats and snakes and, you know, I can't remember it all. But basically, there's nowhere on Earth right now that all these animals exist together. Well, somehow back then they did. And then that gave them the ability to draw it. And therefore, to me, more proof of the actual flood. They created the ark. There's evidence of the ark following a mile-long arc, volcanic flow that had come out of that mountain. Since then, through prayer, Ron White, I think 20 years ago, or Ron Wyatt, 20 years ago, he was praying for an earthquake or something to kind of open the ship up so they could get inside. Well, guess what? Here comes the earthquake. Here comes volcanic flow. They look inside. Obviously, everything's petrified, but just massive evidence. And there's some great YouTube videos. Look up Ron Wyatt, Noah's Ark on YouTube, and watch the videos. And you're going to see clearly that there's no explanation. They have huge stabilizer stones that are like 12 feet tall with huge holes in them. And what they used to do is have huge logs or whatever sticking out the sides of boats, and they would hang these massive rocks on them to stabilize the boat. And it's something we don't do now because we have keels and rudders and power and things like that. But those are there. There's an altar there. It says the first thing Noah did after they landed was built an altar to the Lord. All the towns in that area on the mountain, I mean within a 100-mile radius, are named after minute portions of the story of Noah and so on and so forth. I won't get into that. But long story short, it's true. It happened. It's there. The evidence is there. And why does that matter? Because it's just one more substantiation. God leaves evidence that's faith-based, okay? You look at it. You want to see it through eyes of faith? Boom, there it is. You want to reject it? You can come up with dogma and so on and so forth, and you can reject it. This is one thing about God and his prophecy. His prophecies are always obvious after they've been fulfilled. For the most part, unless you believed the prophecies of Daniel, which would have told you literally to the minute when Jesus would have what we call now the Day of Palms, where he entered the city on the donkey, which in one spot in the Bible it says donkeys plural. This is an argument given by atheists, which is pure foolishness. And so anyhow, let's not do that anymore. Let's, while we still have time, let's actually do a show on financial issues, okay? It's about time. Let me find the piece. There's one that I was using. Actually, one other thing. Oh, boy, I'm sorry. Well, maybe you're going to get lucky and I can't find it. That's not it. That's not it. That's it. Okay. Here's some information. We did a bio. We're doing a website. You've been hearing that forever. I'm embarrassed to even repeat it because the story's long. In our bio, just to touch a little bit on who we are, when you're dealing with Coins Plus, who are we? What makes us unique? Why are we different? Who am I? Why am I on the radio? What makes me special? Well, first of all, nothing. Nothing at all. I'm a human being. I'm a fallen, broken, saved by the grace of God, born again believer in Jesus Christ. I've prayed to repent for all the sins I committed, and believe me, they are numerous. And I've prayed to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I believe He has become my personal Savior. I believe that I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I live for God. I love God. And I have struggles just like you do. Every one of you who's listening, you've got some struggle you deal with. Some are more extreme than others. Men, in general, my understanding is they struggle. A huge proportion of men struggle with pornography. Okay? Now, I'm fortunate enough that it's not something I struggle with. But here's the deal, and I understand why, and do not take me wrong, okay? The bottom line is men are visual, okay? It's just the way God made us. Men are the aggressors. That may not be the appropriate term, but it's true. Men are the drivers. Men see what they want, they see what they like, and they go get it, you know? And a lot of these women, either aren't interested, wouldn't be interested, or they will actually go after the wrong kind of guys and so forth and so on. So I, Kevin Walter, am the president and owner of Coins Plus since 1996. We as a business, I might as well tell you this because it's going to be on our website, we've handled the purchase and sale of nearly $1 billion in rare coins and precious metals. So when you get situations like I ran into last week where a gentleman had called, spoken with me a number of times, he'd done a ton of business. He got roped in by one of what I refer to, I call them marketing companies, because they're not numismatists, they're not coin dealers, they're people who sell things for too much money, strictly to make a profit, and they don't care what it is. They learn how to prey on you. What I call the vulnerability of the Christian audience. You're vulnerable. You're a believer. You trust other Christians. You love God. You want to talk about Jesus, typically. And they prey on these kinds of people. And we don't do that. We prey on people's finances, and we hope in the name of the Lord that we can help you do what God wants you to do with your money. And what that is the items that are biblically attributed as true wealth: gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. Okay, now gold and silver has been used as money from the beginning of written human history. We officially abandoned the gold standard in 71-ish around under Nixon. We kind of put it on the shelf in 33, where we took gold out of our money. We had still created a lot of gold coins. They were still legal tender. They still circulated and so on. But we were no longer creating gold. We were not operating on a gold standard, although our system was still gold standard based. We had many countries, many nations, after the crash of 29, demanding redemption of their debt in gold. Why? Folks, this one stumps me. We got involved in World War One and World War Two. We saved every one of these countries. We came in as the hero. We lost. We gave up countless lives to fight against evil, to stop the evil, okay? And yet somehow we borrowed money from these people. Of course, the banks finance both sides of a war, which is sickening in my opinion, because it's fiat currency. They make the money out of thin air. Not good. So I'm the president of Coins Plus. We've bought and sold nearly $1 billion in precious metals. That's bought and sold combined, added together. Now, realize of all that, it is our average profit margin is minuscule, okay? It's not uncommon for us to do a $1 million deal and make a 0.5% or 1% or whatever it may be. It's just you do high volume. We consider ourselves as Coins Plus a high volume, low margin broker dealer depository service. What does that mean, high volume? It means we do as much as we possibly can. We want to be the River Nile. I want to take little ladles out to live on and whatnot, but I'm not doing it to get rich quick or get rich, period. I got into this business because I love coins like you don't know. I know coins very well, okay? The value on them right now is tremendously low. Mike was talking to me yesterday about some of the prices on Carson City dollars, certified, high-grade, nice stuff. The gray sheet, which is the dealer-to-dealer wholesale sheet, you know, is the price guide that we generally use. It's supposed to be accurate. It's pretty accurate. But he was showing me where a lot of these coins have dropped in value. Folks, we're sitting in a time of incredible value. What's unique about that is during the economic crisis of 2009, stocks were worthless. The difference then is they could collapse and become worthless and go away and never come back. Precious metals and rare coins do not do that. Okay, they will always hold value, sometimes more, sometimes less. You get the point. Sometimes they're very impressive. Sometimes they're moderately impressive. They are what they are. Okay, they absolutely are what they are. And that's probably why we are who we are and how we operate the way we do, because we know what we can and cannot change, and markets are beyond us. Economics, which drives the market, is primarily driven by emotion. People feel good about the market, they spend money. People don't feel good about the market, they don't. It's that simple. So at Coins Plus, we, like I said, we've handled a lot of this stuff. I personally, and this is just a quick bio. I don't know why I'm giving it to you, but I probably should watch my time. I'll go real quick. I personally and my staff is certified by the American Numismatic Association in advanced coin grading and counterfeit detection. You will not find another dealer in the state that I'm aware of that has the number, the quantity and quality of certifications that we have as a dealer. Okay, it's just they're not out there. All right, so we're special. You know, we're special that way. We're unique. We know what we're doing. We know what we're handling. I have a very strong financial background. I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed. I have a degree in applied mathematics and statistics, with an actuarial emphasis, and I've, you know, passed all these exams, and like I said, Series 6 and 7 licensed on equities and bonds and stocks and investment guidance. And so I bring to you all of these different factors, all of these different skills and experiences, and based on that, and a pretty strong education in theology, moderately strong. It's been a while, but, you know, I bring all that together to, I've come to the conclusion that God, in his word, and I believe the Bible to be inspired. I believe that it is God breathed. Yes, man wrote it, but each of us who is a believer has been spoken to by God. Now, non-believers listen to that and go, oh my gosh, here go the wackos. Well, sorry. But deep down in your heart and down in here, you hear it. You know it. You know when God's speaking to you. If you never hear that, you need to pray and you need to seek God to help you to hear his voice. They call it the still small voice. It is within us. God speaks to us. He talks to us. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will show you the way. Okay? We've been actively involved in buying and selling extremely high volumes of silver dollars. I specialize in silver dollars in volume. We've bought, you know, massive coins, collections, estates, accumulations. We buy a lot of scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. Scrap gold is simply gold that is old. It may be a broken chain, whatever it is. It's old, it's unused, or it's no longer usable. And, you know, it can be dental gold from somebody's old gold crown. It can be, dentures. They used gold as bridges with indentures because it doesn't react or oxidize or tarnish or anything like that. It is resistant to every naturally occurring substance on Earth. Gold's amazing stuff. It's phenomenal. God made it for us. It and silver are two things that are two divinely created elements that serve a phenomenal purpose. Silver, you know, kills microorganisms within 4 seconds of contact, so it prevents the spread of disease when it was used as money. Now your money just carries the disease and spreads it all over the place. So we're high volume, low margin, broker-dealer depository service. We offer the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western region, as well as the fact that we operate from one of the nation's, literally, one of the nation's finest industry-specific facilities, okay? Coins Plus, our facility was built from the ground up for this business. You will not find that. Usually you'll find renters that are literally in little strip malls and, you know, and if you've been there, you know what I mean. It's not exactly the most comfortable environment you've ever been in. When you get into significant amounts of money, you've got to be wise. Like I said, I've run into situations as recent as last week where men, you know, like engineers and very intelligent men have given their money to people that just have a nice website and give them a good pitch. No information on the dealer. These dealers that we've had people. I had a woman in here a while ago waiting for 2,000 American Silver Eagles, plus about 20 American Gold Eagles that she'd ordered. You know, in simplicity, you're looking at, how much would that be? You know, $120,000 worth of stuff or something like that. And it'd been a year and a half. Those of you who remember Larry Bates with First American Monetary Consultants, he did the same thing, went bankrupt, took a bunch of people for a ride. Coins Plus, you own it the minute you buy it. 95% of the time we have it in inventory. Typically, though, we'll take your check or form a payment. We're going to usually make you wait a couple days to get it. Why? Because we do so many investment portfolios. We don't want to get into wrestling matches over who got what and who gets what and what agreements a certain employee made with another clientele. And as a result, we will, you know, do everything we can to balance and maximize your performance. My magic term is wealth and capital preservation. Okay. My job is to help you preserve your wealth that God gave you. God's Bible, God's word tells us that this is how we're supposed to live our lives. Okay. We're supposed to use his financial vehicles to save our money. We've got a wonderful, you know, highest rated depository service imaginable, especially in Spokane, Washington, of all places. It says here, Kevin, that's me, has an extensive, successful collegiate education as well as professional background in executive level banking management with Bank of America, which is true. I've been Series 6 and 7 licensing and securities and investment guidance, actuarial experience, postgraduate economic studies, and I specialize in assisting clients in wealth and capital preservation, investment guidance, as I just said, it says, in hard assets, emphasizing successful rare coin and precious metals portfolios that have experienced the longest financial bull market in history. Let that settle in. You are dealing with the longest bull market in financial history when it comes to precious metals or rare coins. You're not making a mistake. In addition to that is the highly most liquid asset that you can buy and own. There's nothing else like it. Nothing. You walk in with your product, you walk out with cash. If your product is sitting in your depository service here, we walk back, you bring it out, you get cash, you walk out the door. What else is like that? Nothing. You've got things like, you know, stocks and bonds and Fidelity and people's 401ks and IRAs. We do 401ks and IRAs in precious metals. I would highly recommend it. Highly. Now, you look at, oh, I want stock because it grows. No, it doesn't. You look at the overall indexes. They don't grow. You say, oh, what about Apple stock? Yeah, it grew. It grew and it grew and it grew. And guess what? It's done growing. And then you get to like Amazon stock. They have never, ever produced a profit. It just continues. The growth that it's seen is hype. It's because more people keep investing more money and this company keeps getting more money and they don't know what to do with it. And that's why they go out and they buy pharmacies and they buy everything they can get their eyes on. It's a monopoly. It's a problem. It's something the government should deal with, but they put over $1 billion a year in lobby. Okay. Google, Amazon, they have their own buildings in Washington, D.C. I've been there. I've seen them. They are so dedicated to lobbying, to influencing, to persuading our politicians that the amount of pull that they have is phenomenal. They are so deeply well connected. The CEO of Google, you know, the unbiased source of information, no. But anyway, the CEO of Google has been to the White House while Obama was there over 400 times. He was there regularly, constantly helping Obama scrub and clean bad information that was coming out on him. I'm sure he had to go to Obama and get permission to publish this or publish that, because after all, Obama was the president of the United States of America, the most powerful nation, not only on the face of the earth, but in the history of the earth or of humanity. So it's, you know, this is where they're at. So we deal in hard assets, rare coin, precious metals portfolios that have experienced the longest financial bull market. And most importantly, this is the most important factor. Our motto for Coins Plus since its inception is this. Now listen, this is our motto. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. Please. Stick that in your head. Don't forget about it. That is what we want to do in every case. You bring us 5, 10, 20, 50, however much money, you know, thousands and whatever. I'm not sitting here trying to, you know, whistle hoochie. That's a word I just made up. I'm not trying to hard close you or car sales you. I'm just telling you the truth about who we are and what we believe. We build portfolios, nice ones, good ones. You guys, I buy millions of dollars of coins a month, millions. And I hand select the best of the best of the best for you, my investors and collectors. On top of that, of course, the base of your investment portfolio is precious metals. It's going to be gold and silver at the base. In the central portion, again, I use a pyramid. I don't want to use the word scheme, pyramid scheme, because then you're into that multi-level marketing thing. But we use a pyramid methodology. The base is precious metals. The central portion is semi-numismatic coins, $20 gold pieces, old U.S. silver dollars, items that have a history of performance, but are far undervalued at this time and can go up independent of the movement in metals. However, they will also react to movements, especially upward movements in metals. Silver dollars. We have watched metals drop And we've watched silver dollars not only stay stagnant, we've seen them grow. Okay, so we want balance, and that's what we will give you when you invest with us. You build a portfolio. I don't care if it's your 401k or your IRA or your own private savings or just money you want to set aside. Whatever it is, we specialize in helping you make some darn good decisions. The best of the best of the best, okay? So that's who we are, and we are also out of time. I hate it. I apologize for a few of the weird feedback glitches. I have discussed over and over, you know, I just heard today on the radio, we're at a point. I remember a few years back telling you that in collegiate studies, 47% of college students thought socialism was the best form of government. Their second choice was democracy. Well, first of all, we are not a democracy. We're a republic, but they've been fooled to think we are. Okay. So under the assumption by them that we're a democracy, which, by the way, is very similar to socialism and democracy, we are a republic, so they are wrong, but they considered back years, you know, 3-4 years ago, they still considered a, quote, democracy, which they meant republic again. They considered that to be the number one form of government. Now it's changed. The majority of college students, and it's becoming the majority of people, think socialism is the best way to go. Folks, do you know how many lives have been lost to socialism? Keep that in mind. You guys know the Google review, 5 stars, free silver dollar. Give us a call, 444-0044, toll free, 877-TAP-COIN. Please pray for us. Do business. Get a portfolio. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye. Love you.